Hi, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to a message from the People's Church. Whether you listen online, attend our local church, or both, you are a part of our vibrant community.
The People's Church is stepping into 2018, and it's our 90th birthday in 2018. 90 years that the People's Church has been in existence. And so this morning, I want to take a bit of an extended look back past 2017, all the way back to when the People's Church started. And as we step onto the edge of 2018 and looking at our 90th year ahead of us and the next leg of the journey, whatever God's plans are for us as a church family, we simply enter into the new year on our knees, asking Him to continue to lead and shape and guide us as a church family into the future. We are heading into a month of prayer. You can pull out your prayer guide now. Just take a look at it. We are heading into a month of prayer, and I'm asking that we as a church family come together and pray, because prayer doesn't just prepare us for ministry or prepare us for the work. Prayer is the work. And we're going to be using these guides in a few moments. I just want to look at a lesson in Acts chapter 16 that I think is timely for us to be reminded of. So if you have a Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to be reading from verse 6 in a moment. As I mentioned, we're heading into our 90th year, and we're going to be having some moments to celebrate in 2018. And in preparation for that, we've been gathering some materials from the archives of the People's Church, and people have been submitting some things that give a narrative of our history and of our past. And there was a picture that came into the office that's thrown up on the screen now. This is the People's Church in 1934. And if you look really carefully in the top left corner, you can see Brian Dawkins. I'm just kidding. You can't see Brian Dawkins. He's not that old. This was the fifth anniversary of the People's Church. It was actually down on Gerrard Street at that time. And when I look at that church and I look out now on a Sunday morning, I think to myself, wow, things have changed. 123 different nations now call the People's Church home. The People's Church, over its 89 years so far, has only ever had one purpose, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to reach out for the thousands of people who have never entered a church door. And this gathering of people in their day and their age, this was right before World War II, we stare at a photo like this, and this group had to discern, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? How do you want us to proclaim your gospel amongst those who have never heard? And it has led to 89 years of missionary support and a global reach, culminating in 123 different nations calling this church home. But when I look at a photo like this and I think of 1934, we realize that a lot has changed since 1934. Global migration has changed things. The culture in Toronto has changed. The spiritual climate in our world has shifted and changed. Even the look and footprint of global missions has changed since 1934. So every generation, just like this generation has to get on their knees and seek God and desperately ask Him to sync us up with what the Spirit is doing today, in our day, in our generation. And that's why I entitled this message, In Sync with the Spirit. Now, to sync something, that's a common term for most of us today. It speaks of digital devices. It literally means to connect two electronic devices so that they both have the latest information or files. And so just to play on that concept, When I say being in sync with the Spirit, literally what I'm saying is to connect with God, to connect with the Holy Spirit, to spend time abiding in Christ so that we have the latest information of his purpose for us. So that we are on his agenda, not asking him to align with our agenda. And in Acts chapter 16, the apostle Paul is about to embark on his second missionary journey. And I believe there's a lesson that illustrates the importance of being synced with the Holy Spirit. And it's timely for us as we head into our 90th year, because what I'm asking us to do as a church family is to be on our knees and pray into our 90th year that God would make it abundantly clear what the good works he's prepared in advance for us to walk in are. That's the goal. That's the desire, that we walk in the Spirit as he leads us. Now, just to set the context, even the Apostle Paul's journey into missions is fascinating to me. Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus. He's actually Saul at the time. He's a terrorist going to persecute the church. And Jesus appears to him, and he has this radical transformation. And Jesus says to him, "You are my chosen instrument to proclaim the gospel amongst the Gentiles." Now, we know that Paul was a Pharisee by experience in life up to that point. There was one people group that Pharisees despised. It was Gentiles. And so God, in his foreknowledge, says, "Paul, the very people you despise, you are going to be my chosen instrument to reach that people group." And certainly that moment that he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus was a life-transforming moment. And he has this wonderful vision from heaven. But when you study the book of Acts, you realize that 13 years go by before Paul's first missionary journey. And I wonder what that was like for Paul when he was in the city of Tarsus as he was waiting for those 13 years, each year going by, maybe thinking to himself, "Did I really discern what Jesus had told me clearly? Maybe it was something I ate that day. Did Jesus really appear to me?" Because it's been so many years. Imagine 13 years going by before the vision that Jesus gives to you coming to pass. That's a long time to go by. But then God brings about the birth of the Antioch church. Barnabas confirms the birth of this Antioch church, and he goes and gets Paul, and he comes to Antioch, and he starts to minister there. And then the Holy Spirit, 13 years later, says in Acts 13, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them." 13 years later. And Paul goes on his first missionary journey, and it's tremendous, and he returns to the Antioch church and shares about all that God had done through him and Barnabas. And we're about to pick up the story as Paul's about to head into his second missionary journey, and he's going to be delivering a decision reached by the Jerusalem Council to the churches that he's already planted. He's going to share with them that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the means by which we stand before God, righteous and holy, and nothing else. And as he's preparing to deliver this message, in this second missionary journey, he endeavors to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles, similar to the vision he was given. And we pick up the story in this moment. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 says this: "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." What I find so fascinating about this passage of Scripture is that here you have the Apostle Paul, a man who Jesus appeared to himself. Jesus himself said, "You are my chosen instrument to preach the gospel amongst the Gentiles." And we read in verse 6 that Paul and his companions have traveled to a region and they've been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. This is an apostle who's set apart to preach to the Gentiles. He's trying to preach the word, and the one who's stopping him is the Holy Spirit. It's a fascinating verse to me. We realize that we have an adversary who doesn't want the gospel proclaimed, and I could understand if Satan was trying to stop Paul from proclaiming the gospel in a region, but here we see that it's the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's a double no coming from God, because in the next verse, we read in verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, it's another Roman province to the north, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. I sit there and I think to myself, here you have an apostle clearly given a vision from God, and he's trying to carry out his apostolic ministry, and seemingly the Spirit is saying, no, I don't want you to proclaim it here. And then he tries to enter a region, he wants to penetrate into a new region, and Jesus wouldn't let him. It's an interesting verse to me. I endeavor to think that Paul and Silas, when they were starting this second missionary journey, probably took out a map and thought of the regions that they would reach into, probably thought that, hey, let's try and penetrate some zones that we haven't been to before, and they travel all the way to those border towns, and Jesus says, no, not here, not at this time. I don't want you to share the message. It's a fascinating passage. And I wonder if Paul and Silas in these moments were thinking of the Old Testament verse in Proverbs 16, verse 9, where it says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. As Paul and Silas traveled along, I imagine that they planned their course, but as they planned out their course, they would arrive at a certain destination. And what they're hearing from God is, no, you're not allowed to enter this region. We have to be mindful that Christ is the head of the church. He is the one building his church. And even the vision that he's given us, even the ministry that he has called us to, is subject to his leading. Amen? He may have even appeared to us and told us something fascinating. We might have to wait 13 years before it comes to pass. And even after those 13 years, the Holy Spirit says, go, it's go time. We may come to a certain ministry or a region. We might have it in our heart to do something. We might have our plans. But the Holy Spirit says, stop. Not at this time, not at this moment. It's so important for us to abide in Christ and to be synchronized, to be in sync with who he is, because even some of the good things that we have in our heart to do may not be God's things for us. Have you ever had a moment where you had a vision for a ministry? Have you ever had a moment where you endeavored to do something for the Lord, and when you set out to do it, it just seemed to be frustrated the whole way along? That seemingly the message from heaven was no. This is written into the fabric of the people's church at the very genesis of our church. Oswald Smith endeavored to be a missionary. His heart's desire was to be deployed on the mission field, and he applied to multiple mission agencies, and each of them said no. He didn't know what to do with this burning desire within him. He wanted to reach out for people who had never experienced Christ. And he saw the mission field as the means to do that in his day, in his generation. But instead of just letting the vision die, God slowly, over years, oftentimes painful years, when you read Oswald's story, slowly led him to the place where he birthed the People's Church. And when you look back over 89 years, Peoples has sent thousands of missionaries, not just one missionary, thousands of missionaries virtually to every nation on the planet, because one man was synced with the Spirit, heard the no from God, and redirected his course. Paul and Silas had plans, and I'm sure they're well-intentioned plans. Who can argue that they want to proclaim the gospel in a certain region, want to penetrate into another zone where there is no gospel presence, but seemingly the Spirit had something else for them to do. And again, we need to remember that even our calling is subject to the Lord's leading. So Paul and Silas continue pressing forward, and they pass by Mysia, and they eventually hit the end of the line. They come to Troas. We read in verse 8, they passed by Mysia and they went down to Troas. Now, when you look on a map, Troas is at the very west end of the region they're in. They can go no further west. And they've been refused going north. They literally have nowhere to go. They've hit the end of the line. And isn't it just like God, that when we hit the end of our resources, when our plans have heard the word no, and we come to the end of our planning, that's when God's plans can kick in. Paul and Silas get to the end of their resources, and they're about to discover God's resources. And God has already shut two doors, and Paul and Silas have experienced that setback, but now they're just waiting on God. And we read in verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You see, they needed to be synced with the Spirit. Their own plans had to run out. Their own vision of what was in store for this second missionary trip had to die, and then God's vision is granted to them. And some seasons of ministry are like that. Maybe you're here this morning and God placed something within you. He birthed something within you years ago, and you've been waiting for it to come to pass. And in those moments, do we wait patiently, allowing him to bring it about in his time, in his purposes? And oftentimes, when we get to the end of the line, when we get to the end of our abilities, we discover his abilities, and he gives us his vision. And Paul and Silas are in Troas, and they've had this moment where Paul has had a vision, and literally Macedonia is across the Aegean Sea. They are in a harbor town, and they are looking out over a sea, and God is calling them to step out onto those waters and beyond to Macedonia. And when you study the next few chapters of Scripture, it's fascinating to study because you see Paul and Silas being used by God to plant churches in every major capital throughout Macedonia. They start to plant churches in Thessalonica, in Philippi, in Corinth, in Ephesus. Each of those cities subsequently have an epistle written to them that are included in the New Testament. So God had a vision for their ministry that they didn't have. God could see something that they couldn't see. He had a purpose and a plan for them that was undisclosed to them. They had to experience some setbacks, but then there was a major breakthrough in their ministry, and fruitfulness abounded when they were synced with the Spirit's plans. Even four of the letters that we have in the New Testament scriptures came because they got to the end of the line at Troas and were led by this vision to the next phase of ministry. In fact, this marks the moment where the gospel penetrates into Europe, which would for later generations be the epicenter of global missions for many generations thereafter. And they don't even realize that all this takes place. We do because we have hindsight. But sometimes we're walking with God, and we might be experiencing frustrating moments where our plans that we had set out aren't coming to pass in our timing. But this is a healthy reminder that we have to discern what God is doing and continually be in a place where we are sinking with him so that we have the right information and that the Spirit is leading us, because vision belongs to God alone. It doesn't reside with man. God is the one who builds his church, and he will give vision when he is ready to give it. As we step into our 90th year, I want to put that picture up again. I look at this church in 1934. My goodness. There was barely even telephones. There was no World Wide Web. There was no interconnectedness. There wasn't a lot of global migration. There wasn't airplanes flying around. The world has changed since 1934. Canadian culture, our own city, has changed since 1934. The family breakdown has changed since 1934. And we, like they, in our generation, have a burning desire that those who haven't experienced Christ hear the gospel and have an experience of him. But the way in which we carry that calling out has changed. And so I'm asking us as a church, as one body united in Christ, that we enter into 2018, into our 90th years, on our knees, praying and asking God that he would lead us as a church, shape us and mold us and form us into the church that he wants us to be. Because this same group wrestled with those same decisions. And had they not wrestled with them, we'd still be on Girard. Who knows what we would be doing? We wouldn't be at 374 Shepherd Avenue East. There was no city out here at that time. Now you find yourselves in the heart of the GTA. And that generation didn't know that, but they followed God's leading. And so as we enter into 2018, some of the things I'm asking God are, Lord, are there things we are trying to do as a church and you're not allowing us to? You actually want us to stop doing them. They may be good things, just like Paul and Silas were trying to do, but they weren't his things for them. It makes me ask a question, Lord, are there things we should be doing that we're not? Is there a Macedonia out there for us? And we're just not aware of it yet because we haven't heard. Are there areas of ministry to explore and you're giving us vision for them? This year, as we enter into this year, I would ask that you pray as a church, that we pray together, that we would be synced with the Spirit to connect with God so that we have his latest plans for us as a church. Does that sound good, church? That's the whole heartbeat behind the prayer guide. And we're going to use this in a moment, but let me close in prayer. Father, we look back over 2017 and we look back over 89 years and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we recognize through Acts 16 that even the good plans that we make sometimes aren't your plans. And so we want to be harmonized with you. We want to walk in sync with your Spirit. And we ask that you would lead us there as we enter into this new year. We give you thanks for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the People's Church. Our desire is to proclaim the Word of God and to see lives transformed. To find more like this, or if you'd like to contact us, visit thepeopleschurch.ca.